Before we begin, don't forget that if you want to hear this episode ad-free, then sign up to our members channel. Just search for What's the Story Crime in Apple Podcasts or follow the link in our show notes. Members will get exclusive access to all episodes of Smoking Gun, completely ad-free, before anyone else.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A modern miracle. The contact lens. The Johnson & Johnson plant manager thought to himself as he looked across the factory floor of the production facility in Limerick, Ireland. He'd been overseeing the manufacture of contact lenses for years, and millions had been shipped around the world under his watchful eye. During his shifts, he regularly thought about how, in 1801, a British scientist, a man called John Young, created the first glass contact lens prototype. It was filled with water, and John affixed it to his own eye using wax. The manager chuckled to himself. Thank goodness things have moved on since then. These days, things were a little more civilised. And rather than glass, the thumbnail pieces of silicon were shaped by moulding, which kept the lenses moist and pliable. And these were definitely not secured by wax. The plant manager himself wore them, alongside more than 140 million other people around the world. An unsung revolution helping people see the world more clearly. It's ironic that, in many ways, contact lenses serve the same purpose as a criminal trial. The purpose of both being to reveal what is in front of them with complete clarity. So it's fitting that in 2014, over 3,000 miles away from Limerick, contact lenses, which the very same plant manager may well have overseen the making of, were used as the smoking gun in a murder trial. For many people involved in that case, the lenses involved finally helping them to see things clearly. My name is Sarah Henderson. I've always been fascinated by the world of forensic science, the amazing ways in which crimes can be solved and the clues which can be found almost anywhere.
And my name is Tracy Alexander from Forensic Response UK. I've spent years inside these processes, searching for those clues. I've dedicated my career to using science to help the course of justice. And my work has ensured that hundreds of criminals have gone to prison and the wrongly accused go free.
Together, we're going to lift the lid on some of the most extraordinary cases from around the world.
We'll discover how, with the help of science, everyday items have become the key to catching a killer.
From What's the Story Sounds, this is Smoking Gun, Series 4, The Contact Lens.
The man shouted down the phone to the 911 call handler.
Everywhere. She's been shot or something. My wife. Is she breathing?
Asked the call handler. He replied,
No, I don't think she is.
That was the harrowed voice of Raven Abaroa at just after 10 p.m. on the 26th of April, 2005. He was shouting frantically about his wife Janet, whom he'd just discovered on the floor of the office in their home. Within minutes of his call, officers in Durham, a rural suburb of North Carolina, were arriving at the property. It was pitch black and ominous when the detectives' vehicles pulled up. And once inside, the scene which greeted them tragically confirmed Raven's call. A 25-year-old mother of one, Janet Abaroa, though not shot, had been stabbed to death. She had suffered not just one, but multiple stab wounds to her body. The scene was bloody and brutal, senseless. As forensic officers secured the scene, detectives spoke to Raven, who struggled to catch his breath as he inconsolably told officers what he knew about that night. He had said goodbye to his wife as she'd been getting ready for bed at around 8 p.m. Janet had always gone to bed early, and this evening she was busy conducting her usual nighttime routine, putting on her pyjamas, applying face lotions, the specific and well-practiced ritual so many of us have before we turn in for the night. Then he'd left to play a pre-arranged game of soccer with some friends, taking advantage of the increasingly lighter evenings. Raven and Janet had fallen in love across the soccer field, so she never begrudged him a game. But when Raven came home, sweaty and also ready for his bed, he saw the office light on. "That's strange," he thought to himself. He moved towards the room, never expecting the sight that would eventually greet him. Raven shook his head over and over as the detective wrote in his notebook. He had no clue who could have so mercilessly harmed his wife, he said earnestly. "Or maybe," he murmured, "maybe she'd done it to herself."
Janet was a model member of the community. She was from a kind and conservative Mormon family, not to mention a large one boasting 10 children. Raven was also a Mormon, and together they prided themselves on being good, conscientious people, even if they did get it wrong occasionally. Madly in love, they'd married in the year 2000 at a Mormon temple in Washington before moving to southeastern Virginia and then 150 miles south to North Carolina, where a job opportunity for both of them was too good to turn down. Seemingly no one had anything negative at all to say about Janet, so officers came up short in identifying any potential suspects with a motive to do her harm. Apart from, well, her husband. Janet's sisters were honest with Durham police officers that her sister's marriage had not always been plain sailing. Janet had previously confided in them that she discovered Raven had had multiple affairs, but that as she just discovered she was pregnant, she felt like she had no choice but to stay and make their marriage work, which was exactly what they appeared to have done. And there was nothing but family-wide joy when the couple welcomed a son, Caden, in October 2004. But the joy Caden sparked was short-lived, because only a couple of months later, Raven Abaroa was found to be stealing from the sportswear company he worked for. What was worse, Janet worked for the company too, so Raven's disgrace automatically tainted them both. Janet resigned, too ashamed to show her face there. The company pressed charges against Raven, and while he didn't go to jail, but did plead guilty to 5 charges of embezzlement, which was applied to his permanent criminal record. These were undoubtedly turbulent times for the couple. Janet felt stressed and claustrophobic. Had Raven felt the same, and could that stress have driven him to murder? In the morgue, Janet's body told its own story. She had been stabbed in the chest and the neck, and it was the latter which had cut through to an artery and a lung which had caused her death. But the autopsy revealed even more tragedy. Janet Abaroa was pregnant. It didn't take long for this news to become public, and there was a huge local interest in the case and in Raven's possible guilt. His previous indiscretions were discussed on the news, on chat shows and in newspaper articles, and police, while they were aware of the rumours and the circumstances which plagued the couple's marriage, they were duty-bound to follow the evidence. and as yet, no evidence placed a smoking gun in the hands of Raven Abaroa.
Raven was outspoken about his grief and heartbreak, not to mention his innocence. But the noise and scrutiny around him showed no signs of abating, and he decided to move away. He told neighbours and family that he didn't want to be reminded of what had happened to his wife, or how his life had imploded on that fateful night in April 2005. He wanted a fresh start for himself and for Caden. Over 2,000 miles away, a 31-hour drive, was Salt Lake City in Utah, where the first members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints arrived a century and a half earlier. It was here that Raven hoped to reintegrate himself to the community with the help of his mother and father, who lived there too. And sure enough, just a few years after his wife's death, Raven met a woman called Vanessa while dropping Caden off at daycare. Vanessa was a single mum whose daughter attended the same program, and the two single parents instantly hit it off. So when Vanessa found out about what had happened to Raven, she felt nothing but sympathy for him and admiration for his strength and courage. The pair started building a relationship, but before agreeing to move in with her new boyfriend, Vanessa decided to dig a little deeper into Raven's past. What she found after a quick internet search shocked her to her core. Yes, Raven had told her about what had happened. He seemed to speak openly and honestly about it. But the depth of people's belief that he was the killer weighed heavily on Vanessa. She decided she needed to look her boyfriend in the eye and ask him outright. And as she would later tell ABC News, his answers removed any and every doubt from her mind. So in 2008, Vanessa and Raven got married, cheered on by Vanessa's family, who really liked their new son-in-law. Seemingly, Raven had got the fresh start he'd craved.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When your skin feels nourished and glows, you radiate confidence. Osea makes giving your skin a glow up easy with their clean, clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This seaweed-powered duo features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
It didn't take long for the grapevine to spread its tendrils. The Mormon community is close, and there are much fewer degrees of separation at play. Janet's sisters soon found out about their former brother-in-law's new marriage. They still harboured suspicions that Raven had been involved in Janet's death, and they couldn't rest until they'd at least warned his new wife the kind of man they believed she was now married to. They wrote her a letter, telling her that they believed her life was in danger and to be careful. Needless to say, it was not happily received by Vanessa, The things the letter said, they simply weren't true, she said to herself. Or at least, for a time, they weren't. But after a few months of being married, Raven's mood switched. He started acting differently. He would be cruel to his new wife, saying horrible things to her, before quickly taking them back and profusely apologising. At first, Vanessa put it down to stress. He'd been through a lot after all, but then it wasn't just cruel words, but violent actions instead. Vanessa wasn't the kind of woman to take this lying down, and despite having only been married 4 months, she sought an annulment, which was granted. Now able to see the situation through Janet's family's eyes, Vanessa decided to speak to the press. With fear and pain in her eyes, she admitted that, based on his mercurial behaviour, she also now believed that Raven had something to do with his first wife's death. Durham police, having had no leads to follow for almost 4 years, saw this as the impetus they needed to re-examine Janet Abaroa's death with new vigour, and a fresh detective was assigned, Detective Sole. And Sole was determined to finally get to the bottom of the case. And the first thing he did was re-examine the photographs from the original crime scene. The photos had documented every room in the Abaroa household from that night. Even six-month-old Caden's room, which he'd been sleeping soundly in when his mother was murdered. It looked like a typical suburban home, and other than the blood surrounding Janet's body, there was nothing else obvious out of place. Nothing was broken, nothing smashed by a struggle. But something that struck D.I. Sole as particularly odd was one in which Janet's small, white plastic contact lens case could be seen on the countertop beside the sink. The lid was off. Contact lenses dry out quickly, making them useless to the wearer, so standard practice would be to remove them, place them in the white plastic case, cover them in contact solution to keep them hydrated, and then seal the case. And if Janet had been getting ready for bed, she would surely have taken her contact lenses out and placed them in the case before finally retiring for the night. Detective Sole spoke to Janet's family, who confirmed Janet was fastidious about removing her contact lenses and storing them properly before bed. This felt like the most significant change in the case since the very beginning, and a judge agreed.
Raven Abaroa was arrested on February the 1st, 2010, and charged with first-degree murder in the death of his first wife. 6 months later, as lawyers prepared to go to trial, a judge also agreed to an exhumation of Janet's body to see whether Detective Sole's hunch was correct, the hunch that Janet still had her contacts in when she died. This would help to prove that Janet hadn't been getting ready for bed when she died, or had never made it to bed while her husband was playing football. It ultimately meant that Raven was lying about the timeline, as there was no way his wife would have gone to bed with her contact lenses still in. It was a hugely pivotal moment in the case, but Detective Sole held his nerve with a quiet confidence. His hunches were rarely wrong. And sure enough, the examination of Janet's body, and of her eyes specifically, confirmed that she had indeed been buried wearing her contact lenses. An expert forensic ophthalmologist examined them, searching for conclusive proof they were Janet's. Predictably, alongside the body, the lenses were severely deteriorated. But the ophthalmologist was able to find a serial number under the microscope, which revealed the brand of the lenses, Acuvue, the only kind Janet wore. Here, the real forensic work began to make this smoking gun foolproof for trial. In order to demonstrate how a contact lens decays over a period of time, or specifically when it's buried with a body, the forensic ophthalmologist conducted a recreation using sets of pig's eyes in three separate boxes, which were buried underground, all to recreate similar conditions for the lenses discovered with Janet. He used the same solution that Janet would have also used on her lenses, and the exact same brand. And after 6 months, the analysis showed that the contact lenses changed and deteriorated just like the one discovered in the exhumation, leaving the defence nowhere to turn.
The list of witnesses for the prosecution was extensive and included not only Janet's sisters, but also Raven's second wife, Vanessa. It was now 2013, 8 years since Janet's death, and everyone was finally ready to hear some irrefutable truth. The prosecution lawyers painted Raven as a controlling husband with a bad temper, prone to affairs and lying, as evidenced by his previous embezzlement conviction. Vanessa was also able to assert that she was sure his behaviour with her was part of an already established pattern. Behaviour undoubtedly experienced by Janet too. Abaroa's defence team argued that the prosecution's evidence against their client was mostly circumstantial and that there was evidence at play which could have pointed to a different killer, or even Janet killing herself. But there was one further twist to the tale yet, when in May 2013, the jury failed to reach a unanimous verdict, deadlocking 11-1 on a guilty verdict. The judge had no choice but to declare a mistrial. It was one of the darkest times for Janet's family, who'd spent years desperate for justice, only for it to be so close and then slip away again. But a conclusion of some kind came in March 2014, before Raven's second trial was due to begin, when he entered an Alford plea for voluntary manslaughter. There is no equivalent plea in the UK, but in the US, an Alford plea equates to a guilty plea, but one in which a defendant maintains their innocence, though admits that the prosecution's evidence would likely result in a guilty verdict if brought to trial. In this case, the smoking gun, the evidence Raven was so worried about proving his guilt, was undoubtedly Janet's contact lenses. They cast undeniable doubt on Raven's version of events. A judge sentenced him to between 95 and 123 months in jail, though he was granted credit for the 4 years he had spent behind bars before and during his trial, which was applied as time served. Unusually, Raven issued a statement to the press when the trial was concluded. "I would just like to state that I didn't receive a fair trial the first time," he said. "I don't think I'll receive a fair trial a second time, and I don't think it's worth risking the possibility of spending the rest of my life in prison for something I didn't do." He went on to add, "I take this plea to ensure that doesn't happen, and that's the only reason. I didn't kill my wife." For Janet's loved ones, who entirely believed in Raven's guilt, the result and Raven's post-trial words felt like an insult. But determined to bring the narrative back to the real victim, his sister, Janet's brother Mark gave an interview to ABC News after the trial, saying, "The world should remember Janet as an amazing person. Somebody who was kind. Someone who was loving. Someone who would just show you how to be a better person. Someone who can make you laugh. Someone that makes you happy." Raven Abaroa, aged 39, was released from prison on Christmas Day 2017, having served his sentence, and still maintains his innocence. Smoking Gun is a What's the Story original podcast series. It's narrated by me, Sarah Henderson.
And by me, Tracy Alexander. The series is supported by Forensic Response UK. Our work promotes the international fight to improve forensic techniques, to share ideas, and develop the crime-solving scientific advances of the future.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please give it a rating and review and help to spread the word. You can listen to a new episode of Smoking Gun every week wherever you get your podcasts.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
If you want to listen to all episodes right now, you can find them completely ad-free on our subscription channel, What's the Story Crime. On there, you'll also get exclusive access to a whole bunch of bonus interviews led by me, where I speak to some of the most experienced and skilled forensic scientists from around the world and find out more about what they do. Those interviews are only available on What's the Story Crime.
There's also a whole range of brilliant true crime content all made by the same team. You can check out The Missing, with more than 60 episodes all about long-term missing people, which invites you to try and help solve the case. You'll also find exclusive series like Jigsaw, true crime investigations like 900 Degrees, and incredible stories told over several parts. Whatever you're into, if you enjoy listening to Smoking Gun, we're sure you'll find your next must-listen podcast on What's the Story Crime. Signing up is really easy. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, just search for What's the Story Crime, subscribe, and you'll get all your favourite shows ad-free. For listeners on Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, or any other platform, all you need to do is click the link in our show notes or visit www.whatsthestorysounds.com/crime. Your subscription helps to ensure we can keep making more of the content you love. And it costs just $3.99 per month.